Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Cutting through the pea super to 20s London for you, where it's all playing out in binary. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Thursday, the 4th of March. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Good to see you guys. Have you managed to find your way through the fog of last night to your respective studios? How about you, Pete? You seem to have made it out of your pyjamas.
I never left.
Oh, or not.
I'm still in my gym jams. I'm still in my gym jams. And I am unrepentant, quite frankly, because I look what can only be described as magnificent.
Yeah, I like it. It's festive.
These are actually my on-screen pyjamas and on-show pyjamas, because beforehand, a promotional company who were promoting the re-release of the video game Ghosts and Goblins, if you remember that from back in the 80s and 90s, sent me a pair of spotty boxer shorts. So that's what I've been rocking for the past day in my home. And I've actually dressed up for this, but I'm still wearing pyjamas. So you are lucky, both of you.
Thank you so much. You always dress up for us, though, don't you, Brass?
I know, right?
Yeah, I can't quite fit into my son's Super Mario onesie, so unfortunately you're denied that. It does have the
your
hood
son's,
with, like,
yeah,
little cap.
We'll get you a big one. I know your address now, Andy, so I can send you.
Yeah, I feel nostalgic for the times when I wasn't.
Why have you guys been hanging out at Andy Russell's address illegally?
No, I sent Andy a microphone,
right.
And I also sent him some poppers as a joke. I sent him a pop shield and Andy went, "Ooh, poppers, lovely." And I went, "Right, I'm definitely sending him some poppers now." And you can buy them on Amazon, who knew? Sorry, not poppers, room odorizers.
Oh. Probably everyone knew, Pete, because we have all been indoors for a year.
My God, haven't we just? We're all playing dead like a possum, guys, aren't we?
Yes.
This Apparently. Is something no one knows about. Is that, am I right? I want to get onto Vish about this. No one's ever heard of possums, correct?
No one's ever heard of possums. I mean, that's a bigger claim than what was said yesterday.
Will you be acting like a possum at any stage in this recording, Russ?
Well, you know what? You really stress me out, actually, and I'm a difficult person to stress out, but you
Stop
sent
it.
Me a message late last night.
Especially after saying,
exactly.
Do you halfway know about through, possums?
halfway through my headache, and you're like, "We're spending 10 minutes talking about possums tomorrow, and you better be ready for it." I'm just trying to enjoy a nice little goalless draw, a match of the day where none of us can actually see the ball.
That was beautiful. We're going to cut straight to the big one, I think. It's only fair to talk about Sheffield United beating Aston Villa. The charges on, 11 games to go for Sheffield United, that is. They've got 3 points. They did an absolutely brilliant job and the goal was amazing. Absolutely amazing vision from David McGoldrick for the winner, his 6th goal of the season. He set up the pass and ran into the area, finished. Brilliant. Phil Jagielka then took out Anuel Garzi and got a red, but they managed to hold on. And I frankly, Pete, could not believe it.
it was a very fun goal because he ended up over the hoardings almost because he had no right to sort of be able to finish that because it was poor tracking from Aston Villa. But I'm really happy for him because I think United probably expected a few more goals from him last season after getting a load in the Championship, but it didn't kind of work out that way. So it's good to see that he's sort of leading the scoring in a terrible ski season for Sheffield United. But you know, it's good to see him with the ball in the net, especially when players like Burke really just are not pulling their weight for Sheffield United. I don't really know what he's got to do to get dropped, that fella. But Bramall Lane isn't exactly a happy hunting ground for Villa. So I don't know whether this is just the hoodoo of Villa visiting Sheffield United or just the tiniest of tiny green shoots. Maybe they will escape.
Well,
a few more wins.
Oh, building up the
Newcastle
tension.
Newcastle in free fall. Come on.
Yeah.
Put that muck in my arms.
Right, that's your prediction, is it? Newcastle overtaken by Sheffield United on the last day of the season. I don't even know if that's numerically possible, but yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I don't think Burke is having that good of a time. He got taken off. He came on at 60 minutes and got taken off at 89, so I'm not sure that he's...
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, but he is terrible. He's playing really badly.
And also,
the whole team have got a terrible injury list in a league full of injury lists, and he's still getting... And I guess that's why he's getting his match, but wow. Wilder's definitely set up to draw in that match and inexplicably they managed to win it, so he's good for his booze, I think.
I mean, surely the only more weird thing that could happen in this weirdest of seasons is if Sheffield United from current position signed Carlos Tevez as a free agent and he scored the goal to keep him up on the last day of the season.
Yes,
but
please.
I'm not ruling it out, you know.
A month after they're officially better than United. They're officially better than Derby in the 07-08 season. Come on! So is it time for Blades fans to get really, really excited and crack out the champagne? What was Wilder saying? All the beers the players might have had tonight, I'll do that in place of them. That's nice. It's not nice. That's sinister and quite dark. I realise that. as I read it out, I don't know, it's just you know, it's just nice. Obviously Aston Villa without Jack Grealish, what side in the world wouldn't miss a player like that? But There is something of a... is there a feel-good factor? Let me rephrase that question, Brass. Is there a feel-good factor of a possibly fundamentally irrelevant win at this stage of the season on a night like last night?
Well, it's as you say, Kate, it's not irrelevant because they've got past Derby's low watermark, which is, I guess, important. I mean, even if you think they're completely done, and yes, I think they're completely done, just giving a bit of a lift to the supporters after a pretty miserable season, I don't think you can trivialise that, actually. I think it's worth celebrating these little victories. And I think that's kind of how you justify things to yourself as a football fan. These little like micro moments of hope, isn't it? I think that's fine. I also think it's fine if Chris Wilder wants to lock himself in his office and have loads of beers. It was one of those things that I think it was after Eintracht Frankfurt beat Bayern Munich the other week. And one of the TV crews was trying to stop Martin Hinteregger, the Eintracht defender. And he's like, I'll be back in a minute, because he was carrying like a crate of beers into the dressing room. And you think, this isn't very top flight. But then you think, well, it says to me that you're not getting out at the moment. So I quite liked it.
Yeah, there's no choice but to booze in your workplace, is there, Pete?
No, I'm currently recovering from a massive hangover.
Are you? Tell us more.
No, not really. I was working quite late last night. Thank you very much, everyone.
Well, it's really nice. It's nice to see you, mate. I think you're looking really well, yeah. As previously discussed. I mean, possibly Villa needed that fantasy football downtime to keep themselves sharp on the pitch, eh? Because they was it last week they were banned from it because of all the leaks about what players were up to and Grealish being out of the squad.
Yeah, I'd really not realised until this year how seriously people take fantasy football. Let me rephrase that. I'd not realised until I met Jules Breach how seriously some people take fantasy football.
How can you be telling us this? You've known her a while.
But yeah, I think it's kind of understandable. But look, for Villa, I think this is just one of those games you can write off. And I think there've got to be a lot of these games that you just write off this season. That it's just one of those things. I don't think you can be too hard on yourself. I mean, we'll come to Palace versus Manchester United in a bit, I'm sure. But there seems to be, when we as a football society are looking at games, a lot of condemnation of highly understandable inconsistency this season, which I find a bit annoying, to be honest.
Yeah, agreed. What, you think people aren't
best league in the world, though, Andy? Best league in the world.
We'll come on to it in a minute and talk about bloody Palace United. But yeah, it seems like people aren't really taking that seriously. I tell you who I feel bad for, though, on that Villa defeat, are this incredible bunch of fans in Ghana. Do you guys know about them? What are they called? The Ghana Lions. So I was just reading about how one man's love for Paul McGrath has led to this small town in Ghana, all of them becoming Villa fans. They talked to the guy who runs the Villa fan club in the village, called Owusu Amando. He said, every Sunday morning, it is our routine. We have to be fit and more active so that we can chant. I think like football chants. So we do exercises and after that we chant and we go on more than 3 hours. We come back and we start the chants using the names of footballers who play for Villa, and then we chant against the opponents we come to play against. We do some chants and then we all watch them play again. I mean, it's amazing, like the training that they're putting in to their support of Aston Villa. It's just a beautiful thing, I think.
But they sort of said it's all about Paul McGrath, isn't it? There's only one God, but there's also a God in football, and his name is Paul McGrath. And obviously, for younger listeners, they've obviously never saw Paul McGrath play. But if there was an organised religion where like the priest had a lovely syrupy Irish lilt to his voice, and in his vestment pocket had a little Bobby Baggio and Signori in there, and instead of communion, it was Guinness time, I would be well into that religion, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was the grandfather of the guy who runs the fan club, apparently. So this has been part, you know, this is going to be passed down through the generations.
I mean, they've been supporting Aston Villa for such a long time. They even went through the high water mark of Ghanaian football in Tony Yeboah, and they didn't switch allegiances to Leeds. So, you know, it's good.
If you want to look this up, guys, there's clips online of hundreds of people with UTV daubed across their chests in this like amazing village dancing to their own personal chants. It is so good. Although I hope, obviously, off the back of that, a joy for Sheffield United, I hope that we haven't got them down on the 1-0 defeat. Let's get to Selhurst Park, shall we, if we can find it. Three goalless draws on the bounce for Manchester United. And yes, this was 1-2. Crystal Palace 0, United 0. I thought Vicente Guaita was probably the best thing about this game, but I'm willing to take any other offers. Andy?
Joel Ward? Bit Joel Ward?
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think we'll throw a bit of Joel Ward in there. Before we get onto Manchester United, was anyone else a bit struck by Roy Hodgson's chat afterwards? It sounded like some sort of leaving speech when he talked about how all these guys had done the right thing for the club for the last 3 years, and he was so proud of them and grateful for what they'd achieved and all the rest of it. If he is doing some sort of leaving speech, it seems a bit early, unless he's going in for the whole, you know, Kobe Bryant farewell tour.
Was he carrying a carriage clock under his arm and a painting of a Spitfire?
Blank checkbook and pen.
Oh, bless his cotton socks. What a career. And if he does choose to leave at the end of the season, I think Jonathan Wilson wrote in The Guardian, like, what will he be remembered as? Like, what will be his crowning achievement? What will it be his crowning achievement be, Andy?
But it's really difficult for Palace, isn't it? Because, you know, they're not one of those clubs that get talked about a lot, especially as they're under Roy Hodgson, which is his major achievement, never really in danger of or serious danger of relegation, but they're never going to break into the European places. And a sense from like listening to Palace fans who I know and online, there's this real split between those who think, you know, some, you know, he's someone who keeps us up all the time. He's done an incredible job, and that sense of, yeah, the football's tedious. And when I say there's a split between people who watch the games and people who don't watch the games. Because I think outside the club, the view is very much Roy Hodgson's reliable. He's kept him in the Premier League. He deserves all the credit, etc., etc. And I think most Palace fans who watch all the matches, we simply can't watch this anymore. We're coming to the end of something. And I don't mean particularly in relation to this Manchester United game. But, you know, how many shots have they had on target this year? It's very few, isn't it? I'm sure you'll have the numbers somewhere there, Kate.
But 24 shots on target across their 12
games. In how many games?
In 2021. Yeah, it's not a lot.
That's not fun, is it? And it's hard to sell this just kind of inertia in no man's land in the middle of the Premier League. And I know people will say, oh, you know, Swansea, Charlton, all those clubs who thought it was boring being stuck in the middle of the Premier League and look at them now. But the reality is that football should be a joyful experience. And if the football's like that for too long, it just isn't after a while. And though he's done an incredible job, there is that sense that they're coming to the end of something with all those players' contracts up, with quite an aging squad. The sense that they have to do something, and if it's a risk, well, fine. Like life is a risk, you know. And I think that was the worst thing about this game, really, that there was very little risk taking. With Palace, you don't expect them to take those risks. With Manchester United, I simply think they weren't able to. I mean, they've attracted a lot of criticism for their performance, but the reality is, you look at how many games Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford have played. Why wouldn't they look like walking dead?
Yeah. I mean, do we check the tapes? Are we sure that there wasn't a little goal scored at some point in that match? Because it was really hard to see.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Palace had shot. It's good to give credit to Palace, even though the experience is perhaps duller than you would want. You know, there's a good chance for Patrick Van Aanholt at the death. They basically take that approach, don't they, to sap the energy out of a lot of games, and then watching it in this like cold, misty, deserted Selhurst Park while the Manchester United players look like a bunch of zombies. I mean, it was pretty bizarre. It was sort of like a metaphor for what the end of this pandemic football experience has been. I felt like, Pete, I mean, they just gradually wore everyone out. I think, you know, Eberechi Eze, probably the only bright spark on that pitch. And he is apparently seven. Can this be right, guys? Correct me if this is definitely
seven.
Wrong. He's apparently 7 years younger than the next youngest person in the squad. On the pitch, sorry.
That's, I mean, that is big, big if true. Massive if true. I'm having it though. Yeah, I obviously that team have one or two players that everyone focuses on. But if those players weren't in the side, I think Roy Hodgson would have been gone this time last season. They obviously focus on one or two players. But would his legacy be judged a little kinder? I think sometimes when you've got those kind of players that everyone focuses on, that's all anybody bloody talks about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
I'm
true.
Doing it now.
And of course, Zaha not in the game for Palace last night. I mean, more exciting than the pitch was, did you guys, I don't know if you guys follow Manchester United on Instagram, an employee went live accidentally on the club's official account to 37,000 people. What you got if you were around? I mean, obviously, the obvious gags about this being more fun to watch than what we experienced last night was a black screen and someone making their lunch in the kitchen. Bless them.
I mean, we just know what's going to happen next is they're going to have the same Manchester United employee doing a little cooking show or something on Instagram. I mean, you can write this stuff. You can very easily write this stuff.
Well, I was thinking that the next thing is they do exactly the same thing. But, oh, look, it's Paul Pogba making a toasted sandwich.
Nice. That's definitely happening. I mean,
that's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh.
Nice. Well, do you remember, like, my favourite bit of social media? I've probably talked about it on the show, but it was, I think it was Balotelli trying to wrap a Christmas present on the Manchester City YouTube. They used to do so much fun stuff on that channel. Really, really enjoyed it.
I feel a bit dirty now that Brassel has realised what exactly is going to happen next on the Instagram Live of Manchester United. Let's check in quickly before we get to a break to Turf Moor. A goal each for Burnley and Leicester at Turf Moor. Last night was a night where chance for, you know, Manchester United and Leicester to really make it clear that there was some sort of an attempt at a race, and sadly they didn't. I mean, yeah. We know, but it's a
theoretical chance rather than a realistic chance,
that's
isn't it?
And not true, just because of not just because of Manchester,
but not just because of Manchester City's form. I mean, like I said, United have attracted a lot of criticism for the way they played at Selhurst Park, and I kind of feel that they're in a similar boat to Leicester, and Leicester even more so. The fact that they've got a lot of injuries at the moment, they're just gassed, really. Mm. I thought they did quite well in the circumstances to get a point out of it, because Burnley were really up for it. They were really good. They created a lot of chances, which isn't very like them.
Yeah.
So I just think you have to be a bit more pragmatic about results in this sort of environment, and just say, you know, I think it's so easy, especially after what happened to Leicester last season, for them to go a goal down and people going, oh, here we go, Brendan Rodgers again, his team can't cope with it in the run-in. But I think that's really unfair, especially when you look at the players who didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the players are just going to be absolutely jonesing for that 3 days they're going to have off at the end of the season before the Euros. It's going to be amazing. They're going to be planning little jaunts here and there. Oh, I'm going to be on that sun lounger for literally 5 minutes. But Vidra's goal, I thought, I love goals that don't need to end up nestled in the top corner, but do. Yes. it didn't need to go up there, but it did. And the save, well, two decent saves from Schmeichel. The second one obviously better than the
decent.
First.
Decent.
See as much
amazing,
live,
though.
But watching it, well, there was a first. There was an incredible save from a header, first time round from Schmeichel, and I was like, well, it's a good save, but it's not that good. And then the actual save happened after that, because I didn't see the match live.
Yes,
I was like, wow, he's like the quantum goalkeeper. He's in 10 places at the same
time. That was amazing. He's just like going both directions.
It was amazing. It was kind of like a little bit disrespectful as well, given that Burnley is the home of great goalkeeping in the Premier League, or has been for the last little while. It's like sort of, it's a bit like going into the middle of the Bronx in the early 80s in your best Adidas tracksuit and like sort of standing in the middle of a load of kids and doing like a triple windmill.
Hey guys, I've just invented this new music. It's called rap music.
That was so good. I also liked how so Hamza Chowdhury, in the lead up to the first goal, the Vidra goal, Chowdhury made this crap sloppy pass in the general direction of Wilfred Ndidi, and then it was spirited away. And afterwards, they just stood, Chowdhury and Ndidi, and looked at each other with extreme beef. And I do like to see that happen, I'm afraid. It is enjoyable.
Was extreme beef what that guy was cooking in the microwave?
Chelsea have apparently got a machine for cooking their boots in the microwave. We might come on to it. And guys, we haven't even talked about the bloody... Indeed, he definitely made up for it later on in the game, didn't he? With that amazing assist, sort of... I think the commentator described it as like a quarterback pass to Kelechi Iheanacho. Watched it over his head, volleyed it in. That was cool.
It was cool, but can you say quarterback pass one more time? Because I know that there's a significant section of certainly British-based football fans who are very upset with the use of American sportisms in football. Like quarterback is one, baller is another, balling
really?
Out is another. So the more of these that you can wedge in, I'm certainly in favour of it.
The way he hit that rock was amazing.
Do I get the impression that
Hashtag
you're trying to draw the fire from yourself, Brass, onto me?
Possibly. I think as well, you can't say nothing but net when it's a goal, because that is literally the only place it can go.
It's
when it's
it
in
is.
The goal.
Yeah. Should there be should there be holes in the net so it allows you to brush the net slightly as it goes through?
Yeah, maybe.
We've got goal line technology now. We don't need the nets technically.
Yeah,
I mean, something else in there. A big contact lens.
In Scotland, I think it would be nothing but stanchion, wouldn't it?
So good. And obviously Leicester missing James Maddison. Every team is missing people. I don't think that's probably that useful a contribution from me. But I learned that their sports science team is headed by Dr. Brian English, who's known as the Sandman, for his work on training in sandpits.
I like it. I think it's good to try different stuff. Though when you said Sandman, I did think, oh, Pete wearing his PJs. I could do with an extra 10 minutes in bed.
They are Metallica PJs though, so.
No, I used to sing Enter Sandman very quietly to my eldest son when it was bedtime.
Oh,
that's lovely.
Or creepy, depending
and
on which way you look at it.
Scary as well. After Neverland. Whenever I think about like footballers doing like a training in sand, I always think of, I think it was Robbie Savage in Johannesburg. No, he was in South Africa for the World Cup, and he said, I didn't have a problem with elevation, high elevation, and playing at height, because I did a run around on the beach this morning and my lungs were fine. It's so weird. So yeah, there's a reason for that, Robbie, you silly sausage.
It's good to have that kind of confidence, isn't it? Will there be more? I mean, for more of that lovely singing, Brassel, listeners can of course catch on the continent today, can't they? Don and Andy.
Yeah,
over on Football Ramble presents.
Yeah, it's not me who gets to sing. Obviously, Dotton leads the way, and I merely provide backing vocals. David Cartledge will be harmonising with us today as we get stuck into Barcelona, amongst other things. And yes, as you say, over on Football Ramble presents.
5 hour show.
he's a bass, isn't he? Yeah, David Cartledge. Yeah, that'll be really enjoyable. All right, Pete, you've got 3 minutes for a nap. We're going to a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Clash of the Titles, things got a little awkward when Alex, Vicky and Chris discussed the Incredible Hulk going to the hairdressers.
Have you never had a haircut and gone, that is not what I asked for?
I can't remember what it's like to go to the hairdressers.
Oh God, sorry. That's triggering, sorry.
That's on me.
Bad move,
yeah,
bad move. Yeah, that is on you. Yeah.
Absolutely, I forgot.
Because we haven't seen you for such a long time. We forgot you've got no hair.
I'm still bald, so. Yeah. It hasn't grown back magically since we last spoke.
And over on Football Ramble Presents, the On the Continent team have been keeping you across all the European knockouts, as well as a possible title race in Ligue 1 as well.
Icardi can be so frustrating because he can be just one of the most impressive finishers. But you know, when he's not quite on it, he's kind of like the David Blaine in football. Like, he spends a lot of time in a box not doing anything.
Find Clash of the Titles and Football Ramble Presents on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Guys, you've just missed a bit of mad Pete Donaldson chatter, but apparently there's plenty more from that. Well, welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Andy and Pete with you today. And now it's time for a few of these.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Mr. Kane, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yeah, I'll kick off this one today with Alex Christensen. He sent us an email with the subject: you'll never guess who my dad's second cousin's husband is. Go on, guys, then. Start up at 10. Pick yours. Here we go. I don't have one of those massive extended families, but we do all see each other every few years. Weddings, funerals, etc. Oh, Alex. I've only ever been at one event with my dad's second cousin's husband, though, and it wasn't even a family get-together. I was in the crowd supporting Doncaster Rovers and Glyn Hodges, for it is he, my dad's second cousin's husband, was in the home dugout managing, as we know, Brassel, smiling away in his bedroom, wherever he is, managing AFC Wimbledon. You might think that being the manager's wife's second cousin's son would get you box seats or flutes of champagne, but surprisingly, there was no special treatment for me as I watched Rovers throw away a half-time lead. That's a bit cheeky, isn't it? You'd have thought they'd roll out the red carpet.
But it's a wonderful end to the story, as Rovers throw away a half-time lead. It's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale.
Look at that smirk.
You've got to take it where you can when you're in our position in League One.
I'm just really impressed that Alex Christian knows who his dad's second cousin's husband is, though. Like,
Maybe he's on ancestry.com or whatever. I always get emails from third cousins going, have you seen my uncle? I was like, look, they're all wrong-uns, my family. So don't try and chase them. You'll never find them.
Sorry, did you just say, Pete, you always get emails from your third cousins?
Yeah, I did that DNA thing, which now I can't commit any terrible murders.
any more all, terrible
I've,
murders?
I've happily yeah. handed exactly. I've happily handed out my DNA. I get an email every few weeks going, "You have a new match," and it's always like an American third, fourth, fifth cousin. And I had an email from an Indian lady a little while ago saying, "Have you seen my dad?"
oh my God.
He was in Manchester, and I was like, I don't, as long as it's not Stuart Donaldson, I've got no information for you. I'm really sorry for her, bless her, but she was looking for her dad. So there you go. So that's the new podcast. Pete helps distant family members find their dads.
Because when you said I've got a new match, I thought that this was some very unpleasant dating website.
It would be very unpleasant if you were dating distant members of your family, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear.
Mate, it's like, would you like to be the father of a concert pianist? Well, marry within your cousin. Very gifted. We got an email from Gaz Williams. My landlord is, can he do it on a balmy evening in Miami's Ryan Shawcross. Mm. Ryan Shawcross, my landlord. Weirdly, we were both teammates in the same county side for a number of years, so the whole situation is probably an apt representation of how our lives have gone since those heady days for Flintshire School Boys. Fantastic.
Oh, gosh.
Landlord footballer. Wonderful. Does he come around personally and fix lights and
it's going to be difficult for him to commute,
stuff?
Isn't it, Ryan?
Oh, you see, I was hearing that wrong. I heard landlord as in gaffer of local pub, because that is very 80s footballer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very. Julian Dix had have a pub, and he refused Kerry to talk Dixon. About football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I like it.
Right. This one's from David Jumble. My great grandfather was Scottish footballer Alex Donaldson.
Hello. That's my dad. Oh my God.
He spent most of his career at Bolton Wanderers with brief spells at other clubs, including Manchester City. The best story about him is that he was selected to play for England, but whilst on the way to an international game, revealed that he'd been born in Scotland. I have subsequently inherited some dusty Scottish caps and a fickle nature.
Oh, that's wonderful.
On the way
that's
to the
absolutely
game.
Absolutely wonderful.
What is he doing?
Back then, would there be different rules? You had to, you know, represent the country you were actually born in, rather than, you know, grandfather and kind of slightly more distant relation.
I mean, that's a good question. I always found it a bit curious that Trevor Stephen of Everton and Marseille fame had kind of a Scottish accent despite being an English England international, because he was from Berwick, wasn't he? You know, English born, but only just.
Oh, I've never known where Berwick is. Isn't that the one? Isn't that where we're fighting the Scots and stuff?
Just over the border, innit?
It's on that train up to.
Just
up to
not over the border.
Specifically not over the border, as I now learn.
Yeah, but, you know, we broadcast to the world, so it depends on which border you're talking about.
That's true, and I'm not fighting any Scots, just to be clear. That will never be happening. Email us, show@footballramble.com, tweet @footballramble, and actually Jamaica might have been interested to hear all of the analysis that Brass was just providing on how exactly you get to sign up for various countries, because apparently the 5-time Caribbean champions are plotting an audacious move to call up 10 England stars, as a paper of ill repute put it in the thing I read, to their senior squad, including, but not limited to, Mikel Antonio, Damari Gray, Max Aarons and Nathan Redmond ahead of next year's World Cup in Qatar. I mean, Aarons about to sign for Bayern, isn't he, Brass? And he nearly went to Barca, so I'm not sure I'm up to losing him.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of this super team being put together. It's very Miami Heat. Ivan Toney's on the list as well, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Andre Gray, Isaac Hayden.
I do kind of wonder with Damari Gray, has he had Leon Bailey in his ear since he's arrived at Bayer Leverkusen? Because if he has, I mean, bloody hell, that is quick work, because he's only been there 5 minutes.
I just think that, I mean, it's the only matches Redmond's going to play, I'm sure, for the next few months, because he's been terrible. But as discussed on Monday or Tuesday. But in weeks and months and years in which you're not allowed to travel anywhere, I imagine a couple of matches in that part of the world looks pretty bloody good right now.
Well, for sure. But can you imagine them going into a, like, World Cup situation with Ivan Toney and Mikel Antonio up front. I'm having that.
Ivan Toney, I don't know why he isn't. Obviously, he's moved up a level recently, but like he's a hell of a footballer,
yes.
and he will probably go on and achieve a heck of a lot more at a higher level. So
another one that slipped through the old Newcastle net.
Yeah, don't need him. No better than what Peter Beardsley's already got or had. Rest his foul soul.
Yeah, it sounds like quite the team. I'm into it. I like the idea of tiny nations punching above their weight. Although, yeah, I'm not down with Aaron's going. Mikel Antonio reportedly is going to accept their latest approach. So it sounds like this is a long-term strategy. But anyway, CONCACAF qualification starts this month. Are we in March yet? Yes, we are. Starts this month. So they need to crack on. And look, Jamaica have got some heritage here, apart from just incredibly fast runners more broadly. They had a great side in the 1998 World Cup, including Frank Sinclair, Marcus Gale, and in the run-up to that one, they went on a 25-game tour. So I don't know. I think their build-up might be a little bit limited by factors beyond their control. But I'd be very much keen for going to watch a side featuring all these guys for us.
Well, of course, France, you think about as characterising the 98 World Cup for obvious like social, cultural, political reasons, as well as them being the host nation. But I remember Jamaica very vividly from the World Cup because, of course, when West Ham fans always say, oh, we won the 66 World Cup, or Arsenal fans say we won the 98 World Cup.
And Tottenham fans say we got us to the semi-final of the last one.
Yeah, I say Wimbledon drew the first half against Croatia.
Definitely. Completely agree.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, good luck to them, frankly. Good luck also to Rangers, but that's not why we're talking about them. 4 points off the Scottish Premiership title are Rangers. More significantly, what they've been doing is signing a Bitcoin deal, Pete.
Bitcoin. Big fan of that. What have you got in your silo? Bitcoin.
It's like something that gets stuck in your teeth, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Don't eat that corn on the cob. It's called BitKey, bitkey.com. And basically, they've got a logo that's going to apparently be on their shorts, and they're going to provide fan tokens.
Obviously a lot of tech bros in America have started buying a lot of like videos of LeBron James doing his thing. Is that right, Andy? It's the new kind of trading. It's basically I've had a dalliance with a football kind of fantasy league game called So Rare. It's looks very expensive. I'm not going to continue with it, but I have bought a lot of very underwhelming J League players.
Oh.
But I am on the lookout for Peter Utaka. They've not released a card with Peter Utaka on. If I just have one bit of Bitcoin kind of crypto art, I want that card with Peter Utaka on it. All right, that's all I want. I know he's going to be retiring soon, but he's having a lovely time in the J League right now. That's all I want, and then I can just retire.
You say he's going to be retiring soon. There's no such thing as retiring quite soon in the J League, is there?
No, there really isn't. King Kazoo, I think, came on the field yesterday, I think, in a cup match. So
good on him. And PSG, as we perhaps might expect, I don't know, have already gone down this route. They've allowed their fans who've bought this currency, to vote. This is big, guys, to vote on the inspirational message for the captain's armband. Now, it looks as though they've learned from the Boaty McBoatface experiment, because they've given their shareholders three options. Would you like to hear what the options are?
Are they announce Messi, announce Messi, and announce Messi?
Similar. They are, and the fan tokens are called $PSG. I don't know how you read that. $PSG. Anyway, the options are 50 years, 40 trophies, only one passion. Number two, Ici c'est Paris. And number three, our history will become legendary. Feeling inspired, I can see, Pete.
All hopeful, aren't they? They're very sort of like, something will happen soon. The last one.
I'd like to say there's an obvious winner, because one, really plugs into the history of the club, and two, are utterly repellent. that doesn't mean that the correct one is going to be the winner, obviously. But
yeah.
Yeah.
In the words of Steven Gerrard last night, that's fucking bang wrong.
Fucking bang wrong, so good. Also, speaking of sponsors, I don't care that this hasn't any relevance to what we've just been talking about. It has to happen. Swansea City yesterday announced that they secured a turmeric sponsor for 2020-21. Who's nice. Coming in with the, who's coming in with the puns? Go.
I'm not a pun slinger, Andy. Are you gonna flirt with a bit of punnery?
No, but I'm not hiding the fact that I've got a lot of skin in the turmeric game. So
oh, yeah?
You know, yeah, it matters to me. So
have I missed this?
Swansea are my second team from now on. They're taking turmeric seriously.
Oh God, is it not turmeric? Oh,
it's extremely good for your throat between broadcasts.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
Right?
Are you actually big in the turmeric game? And also, am I pronouncing it wrong? Is this an American thing?
Yeah, I think America. It's a bit like aluminum, I think.
Oh dear.
Are you kind of like basting your throat, in kind of like marinating your throat in turmeric?
That's right. Every
on the broadcast.
Every moment that you're speaking, every moment that either Pete or Kate is speaking, listeners, I've got like a long stick.
The turmeric challenge,
like swilling it around. It's like a reverse COVID test.
It's like that notable time that TalkSport presenter tried to eat cinnamon, perhaps.
water. Wonderful. But I would love to see an Andy Brassel barbecue rub released. Andy Brassel's Texas barbecue rub.
Look, we've got to get this shop up and running after the pandemic. Yeah. I don't know why it didn't happen during the pandemic, you know.
I know, yeah, Andy Brassel, Swansea City, enjoy my jerk seasoning, brown sugar and cayenne, shoring up the back line in front of Freddie Woodman.
I definitely buy it. I'm sad it doesn't exist already, although it's a bit... Andy Brassel's jerk. It seems a bit potentially disrespectful.
Well, he's got the poppers.
Disclaimer, he doesn't have the poppers, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, there is more Premier League action for yet more. You don't, frankly, you don't have to fucking watch it. I would say, don't watch it. Just
don't whinge about it. If you're going to watch it, don't whinge about it. You made that choice.
Don't watch it. Don't complain about it being shit. Don't be sad when Fulham draw 0-0 with Spurs or West Brom possibly win against Everton or Liverpool 1, Chelsea 1. Don't complain. Don't watch it. Just listen to Marcus, Luke and Andy in the morning, I would say. That's my advice. You guys got any advice for the listeners before we head off?
Well, the last bit of that advice is fairly solid. I feel weird endorsing your advice, but yeah, let's go with that.
Pete?
Stay in school, kids. Don't do poppers.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.